Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It's time for a little listener email. Piles up. You know, some of our listeners may not realize we've been on vacation recently. We try to do this in a seamless a way as possible so that our listeners aren't deprived of good original programming through the course of the last 10 days or so, going back till Tuesday this week. We were actually on vacation, and we're able to bring you at the same time a very good series lapping over into this week on the Lord's Prayer, original programming during vacation. It's always our goal, but because we were on vacation, I think last Friday, I was in Memphis, Jeff was in Florida, and Craig was, where was Craig? He was in Omaha on Friday. I think he also spent a little time in Vegas. Maybe we'll give our listeners a little review of our vacation experiences a little later in this Friday afternoon, issues, etc. But we always devote the first half hour Fridays, if we're in the studio, to listener email and to our responses to those emails. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Friday, the 14th of August. Issues, Etc. Blog of the Week comes up in a little bit. And then, of course, we'll play Soundbite of the Week. We got four great soundbites for you to listen to and to vote on in the first hour of the program. In the second hour, Pastor Mark Chavez, vice president of an ELCA reform group, an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America reform group called Word Alone Network, will join us next week. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is going to hold its church-wide assembly. One of the hottest topics it's going to be dealing with, it has been dealing with for the better part of a decade, human sexuality, which is another way of saying homosexuality. We'll see what they're planning on doing, what may happen there. Dr. Miriam Grossman will join us after that to discuss the lies of sex education. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We get a lot of email. We try to respond to as much of it as we can. What's up first, Jeff?
We're not going to talk about our vacations.
Okay. Tell us about your vacation.
No, I was going to talk about you. Yours, Memphis. How was it?
It was great. I don't talk a lot about this, but Elvis Presley is, they have American Idols come and go, but he's the one, as far as I'm concerned, and will always reign as king. We spent some time at Graceland. Walked around the house down there, got to see all of the things. I've seen it before, but it's always worth seeing again, as far as I'm concerned. And spent some time at the Peabody, saw the ducks. What did we do after that? We went out to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, Smoky Mountains, and just did a little something every day with the family. It was a great family vacation. I will point out the very first genuine, bona fide Wilkin family vacation ever. That means not going and staying at my parents' house or going to visit somebody we know. We actually just went as a family to places yet visited and did things we'd never done before, mostly never done before.
It's pretty fun. You ought to do it more often.
I should do it more often, although our listeners often complain that I take too much time off already. I mean, these, 3-week, 4-week jaunts that I go on just disappear for weeks at a time. I don't think the listeners appreciate
it. That's why you're known as the Johnny Carson of radio.
Where did you go? You were in...
I was in Disney World. My parents, Bill and Carol Schwarz, 50th wedding anniversary this year, and their 75th birthdays this year. So they took all their children and their grandchildren to Disney World in Florida. And we had a great time.
This was like a major... This wasn't just go to the park one day and then go home. This was go and stay a week, right?
Yeah, we stayed a whole week. We left, flew out the 2nd of August and came back on the 9th of August. And we averaged probably about 10 hours a day at the parks in the heat and the humidity. My kids did much better than I did. The old Adam comes out very strong with crowds, heat, humidity. Matter of fact, I thought of a great reality TV show. I don't know why I thought of this. I'm waiting in one of these lines down there. And I said, a great reality TV show would be Mark and Molly Ziegler-Hemingway at Disney World.
Why
with
them?
Their little kids for a week. Because I just kept thinking, Molly, I would just love to see Molly with her little kids down in Disney World. I don't know why. It just popped me in my mind. It's like, this would be great TV.
So even the happiest place on earth wasn't happy enough to keep you completely happy 10 hours a day. I mean, you said the old Adam.
Oh, yeah. The crowds, the heat, humidity. Don't get me wrong. It was an experience of a lifetime. I highly recommend Disney World. We loved it. The kids loved it. If you go to my wife's Facebook page, I had a listener call yesterday. Hey, I saw your pictures on Disney World Facebook. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about because I don't add anything to my Facebook page. So she said, no, it's your wife's Facebook page. So you go to Beth Huffman, H-U-F-F-M-E-N, Schwarz. She's got like 50 photos from Disney World if you want to see the Schwarz.
I haven't even seen those pictures
yet. Yeah, they're really good. Not many of me. That's why they're good. So, no, thanks to Mom and Dad. We had a blast. I mean, just a blast. And there's so much to do. It's like Beth said, Disney World is like the closest thing you have to a family all-inclusive vacation. Because they got it all. They got water parks. They've got, we didn't have one bad meal. The person who's in charge of quality control at Disney World, I mean, deserves a promotion.
You said that... that in visiting this thing, you didn't even get to, I mean, in 6 days, you didn't get to see everything.
Yeah, no, we didn't get to do everything. And we did 10-hour, probably average 10-hour days with my kids. I mean, what is that? 11, 9,
job.
6, and 2. And they were like, Jack would take a nap in the middle of the day in a stroller, and they were like warriors. I mean, don't get me wrong. They argued at times, too, but they were a lot better than Dad was. Of course, my wife, she never got upset or anything.
They never
just,
do they?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I was falling apart like day three on our vacation because I was having trouble making reservations at a hotel. And my wife was there kind of literally holding my hand, telling me it was going to be all right. I don't handle that kind of stuff very well. You were in Vegas. Craig.
Well, first he was in Omaha. No. I don't know why. Omaha Steaks and the College World Series. That's the only thing I know about Omaha.
Right. It was Vegas first and then Omaha. I was visiting a buddy of mine in Omaha that weekend. And he had just recently got married, bought a new house. And he informed me some time ago that this weekend his wife was going to be out of town. And it just happened to be the weekend that, coming off of that week of vacation, you needed a couple of days off. So I said, wife's not going to be in town. Let's go up see the new house and let's have some fun. So good trip, long drive. And, coincidentally, I asked him, I said, so you've been married almost a year now. What's it like? He took a real, real big sigh and he said, feels like 10. That's
poor guy.
That's what he said to me.
Okay, so Vegas, can you tell us anything that happened in Vegas or does it all have to stay in Vegas?
A few things. Frankie had never been before, so mesmerized with just the... I'm not a gambler. My brother's the same way. My parents taught us at an early age.
Don't throw your money away.
Don't throw your money away. You work too hard for it. Keep what you've got. And because as well as I do, it's odds. You sit at that table forever. And you know what? You're going to come out in debt forever. So it makes no sense to gamble whatsoever.
But you enjoyed Vegas otherwise, right?
Oh, great time. Great time. Met some interesting people from all over the country. Because, people from Scotland, people from Ireland, all over the world.
Any female prospects in all the people from all over the world that you met? Any possible future
any
fighting?
Weddings?
Yeah, anything?
There were a couple of weddings when I was
no,
there.
No. I'm talking about you.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Is there a ring on his finger, Jeff? I can't see his hands.
I did see one on his right earlobe. I don't know.
Mm. That's going into John Gosselin territory. If you
ask. Yeah, John Gosselin.
All right, so we've blown an entire segment. We haven't read any email. Let's get one email in here.
Okay, this is, let's see, Gene in Edwardsville, Illinois, reacting to your interview with the atheist Bruce Scheinman. Pastor Wilkin, your interviewing style is so gentle and so kind. It sets you and Issues Etc. apart from other Christian programs and interviews. Your Christian love for the person is obvious and a good example to us out here in the trenches. What stands out most in the interview for me is your gentle presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got goosebumps. It seems your entire interview was set up for that, not just information for us, but good news for Bruce Scheinman. My impression is that he had never heard the gospel as you presented it. If you had been in Mr. Scheinman's face trying to straighten him out, the gospel would not have been heard. Your love of the person and your gentle interviewing style allowed his ears to hear the message he so desperately needs to hear. I thank God for you and for Issues Etc., writes Gene in Edwardsville, Illinois.
Well, thank you very much, Gene. The interview with Bruce Scheinman, he was as nice and as kind as he could be, and that helps a lot. And I will say, we didn't set up the interview in order to share the gospel. That's kind of an old trick in Christian radio where it's like, we're really going to bring this person on just to witness to him on the air. We don't really want to know anything. It's a pretense. We don't do that here on Issues, et cetera. But we couldn't let him get away. We wouldn't let anyone get away in that sense without at least giving him a chance to hear what Christianity really is all about, because Christianity was the foil against which he set his atheism. He called himself an aspiring theist. And he was just as kind as he could be as well. And it made the interview and the whole scenario pretty much effortless. By the way, you can listen to that interview, An Atheist Defends Religion, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Look for Bruce Scheinman. He was the author of the book called An Atheist Defends Religion. When we come back, more listener email. We only got one in, but we'll get more in after this. 1-877-623-6943. It's Friday afternoon, August the 14th. We're coming to you live. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll announce the blogs of the week a little bit later. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week with you. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Lonely days ago, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit the CLCC.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you. issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cupful if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are. earthly fathers whose loves fail. Rather, he receives his identity from his own nature, God is love, so great that it moved him to sacrifice his own son in love for us.
You hear people opposed to a more frequent reception of the Lord's Supper saying, if we have communion more frequently, it will mean less. The Lord's Supper doesn't mean anything, but it does something. It forgives your sins.
When we forgive, we are confessing that our sins have been forgiven before God in heaven.
Outcomes are not our responsibility. We're not called by God to be successful. We're called to be faithful.
20 minutes from now, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote talk back at issuesetc.org or just wait those 20 minutes and give us a call because callers get top priority in the voting for Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943. Back to the email.
Mike in Cannon Falls, Minnesota. I've just completed my adult confirmation class in a Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod church and have run across a concern. I asked my mother if I had been baptized. She indicated that I had, but then I then checked with the church just to be sure. They had no record of my baptism. I have asked my pastor, and he indicated that records get lost and that I really have nothing to be concerned about. The more I read and the more I listened to your guests, I truly believe that I would like to be baptized just to make sure. I would be very interested in your comments. I do enjoy your programming. It continues to bring me closer to a cross-centered, Christ-focused life. Thanks for the email, Mike, in Cannon Falls, Minnesota.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thanks for listening. Okay, this is a bit of a dilemma, and I guess it comes down to this. I don't want to sound crass, but if you trust your mom's memory, then I don't think you need to worry about being baptized in order to make sure you were baptized. If you trust your mom's memory, she says, yes, you were baptized, absent a record. It would be nice to have the record. But of course, it's not the record that makes baptism certain. It is the promises that, of God's word attached with the baptism that make it a certain thing. Now, if there is a genuine doubt in your mind that you cannot dispel by just saying, okay, mom does remember it. She could tell me, you know, what little gown I was wearing or who came over, or what was for lunch, or those kind of things that you remember surrounding a baptism. If you can't dispel it by trusting in someone else's memory there, then by all means, approach your pastor and say, we're not really sure if I was. And an uncertain baptism is in a sense, fundamentally undermines what God intends and does through baptism. Now, this is how I'd look at it, not look at it as a rebaptism, because the Bible knows of no such thing as rebaptism. But to say the first baptism is in doubt, we don't know, but we do want to know. And so trusting that God is able to work these mighty promises in baptism, whatever the circumstances of our memory may be, then I would approach your pastor and ask him to baptize you. But it has to be based then upon the fact that no one really knows. If someone really does know, then you can take those promises to the bank. You're not trusting another person's memory as much as you're saying, did it happen or didn't it happen? I don't think it's actually that unique of a circumstance. I mean, there are a lot of people who probably assume that they were baptized or don't know. This is why the church does keep records, because the fact that this actually occurred, that this was actually done for you by God in time, is kind of the point of baptism. That God actually literally points to an individual sinner in and through baptism and says, this is my child. Which is why throughout the history of the church has been careful to keep these kind of records, not just for record keeping's sake, but so that people might know this was actually done for them by God in time in their lives. That's the best advice I could get. If I were sitting in the pastor's shoes, that would be the advice that I'd be giving you.
John in Cambridge, Massachusetts writes, have a question regarding the program on 7:31:09. Romans 5:12 was cited in the discussion regarding death through sin. It's not clear that the death through sin referred to in this passage is referring to anything other than human death. The rest of the passage specifies that death came to all men because of the sin of one man, but does not specify that death came to animals and plants. Since many Christians who believe in an old earth maintain that there was no human death, physical or spiritual, before the fall. It seems that this passage at least cannot draw a distinction between these two positions. What's your take on this? Writes John in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Well, narrowly construed, I get your point that this passage alone cannot be used to say that physical death of any kind, non-human death, did not exist before the fall into sin. But I think you have to kind of torture the text, especially in its context, in order to come to that conclusion. You got to go looking for, well, where could we shoehorn death into this so as to be able to justify some extensive period of time before the fall where there was animal and plant death, but not human death. That's not the picture that Scripture paints, and nor does Scripture invite us to try and shoehorn death in before the fall. Nowhere. Every time that sin and death are mentioned together, they're always mentioned together in conjunction with one another and elsewhere. I'm thinking here about Romans chapter 8, somewhere around verse 20. It is quite clear that it is all of creation that was subjected to futility, and I think not just futility, but also, what does he say there? It is futility and decay and corruption, all synonyms for death. The entire creation being subjected to that futility, decay, undone in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul's whole point in the Romans chapter 5 is, sin got into the world through one man and death through sin. Therefore, it is one man, Jesus Christ, who takes sin on behalf of the world and suffers death on behalf of the whole world and reintroduces forgiveness and life into the world. So sin and death always go together. Man is, in all of Scripture, in all the context of Scripture, viewed as the cause of death's reign. And remember that Romans passage does say that death reigned. Was it reigning over only over men or only over plants and animals prior to man's fall into sin? No, death reigned through Adam. And I think we can use that, we can safely, without trying to torture the text at all, say that the reign of death through Adam begins with his sin and it is universal, extensive over all of creation. That death generally, not just specifically to man, generally, death enters creation where death did not exist before because of man's sin. And to do otherwise is just to try and do some gymnastics with that passage.
Mark in St. Louis, I heard a little bit of the show from Friday with Dr. Gene Edward Veith on vocation. I heard just a bit of Pastor Timothy Schaar on the Word and Sacrament show as well. What a wonderful comment. It is something that really crystallized my thinking, and I told my pastor this past Sunday, I want to get the phrase on a banner, maybe rejoice, God at work, and put it up on a pole and just stand behind him with the banner held high, especially when there is baptism. Maybe drape the communion rail with the banner. It is really too bad that I have absolutely no artistic ability whatsoever. I can't even draw stick figures. Amen to that, Mark. Maybe you could run a contest. Word proclaimed, word preached, the sacraments, God at work. Ablaze, men at work, writes Mark in St. Louis.
Very good, Mark. Interesting. Right. Well, the two things are quite different, are they? Viewing the mission of the church as man's work that God has commanded us to accomplish on his behalf leads to the kind of foolish and cockamamie evangelism schemes and plans that men typically make when they think evangelism is their job, that the mission of the church is their mission rather than Christ's mission in the world. And to understand evangelism to be what Scripture actually presents it to be, that is the simple preaching of God's word, long gospel, the administration of the sacraments according to Christ's command, all Christ's work from beginning to end, suddenly you're freed from all the schemes and plans and new methods and innovations and fancy marketing. You're freed from all of that to realize, as you'll hear in one of our sound bites coming up from Dr. Lawrence White, that we are not called to produce results. We're called to be faithful and allow Christ to do his work through us, through that simple preaching of law and gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And you could very rightly put up a sign wherever a church is practicing that, saying, God at work, and it would be quite truthful. Now, where a church is trying to massage and manipulate and market its way into numerical growth, then the sign should read, men at work. It's a good diagnosis.
All right, we'll try to get this one in 2 minutes. Jake in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm trying to catch up on the backlog of Issues Etc. podcasts. I just finished listening to the interview you had with Cantor Magnus on youth and worship. As I recall it, you both seem to be in favor of the practice of having children go through the liturgy, even though they don't really understand yet, and how important it is for kids to do the same thing as the adults. This got me thinking about Holy Communion. Why doesn't the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod practice in Holy Communion extend to children right after they are baptized, writes Jake in Fort Wayne, Indiana?
That's a good question. First of all, exposing the kid to the historic liturgy of the church is a good pedagogical practice, no matter what you do. Yet Scripture clearly teaches that before someone receives the body and blood of Jesus Christ, they need to be able to discern it. We're not talking about a cognitive thing exclusively there, but Paul does say, let a man thus examine himself and then eat the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So the church in general has always understood this to mean that baptism and teaching, the Great Commission, culminate ultimately in reception of the Lord's Supper. But those two do, in chronological order, come first, baptism and teaching. If we didn't have the teaching part, then I would say, golly, yes, let's just go ahead and commune the infants as soon as they are baptized. But Christ says, baptizing and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And Paul says, let us examine ourselves. And the Lutheran confessions are quite clear. We do not intend to give the Lord's Supper to anyone who does not know what it is or why they come. So what do? We tell them what it is and why they come, and then we give them the Lord's Supper, however old they are. Be right back.
And make believe it came from you.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado, St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska, and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Click promote.
No giggling allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Here's a neat way to show your support for unborn babies and their mothers. They're small red stop signs with a pro-life message. They attach to the inside of your car window with two suction cups. There are three different messages: stop abortion, defend life, stop abortion now, and stop abortion, respect life. Unlike a bumper strip, they're easy to put on and take off. And right now, with the most pro-abortion president and Congress in our nation's history, we need to get our message out. I've got one on my car. It's a great project to promote at your church or local pro-life group. For more details, visit lifeissues.org and click on today's broadcast link. When you publicly stand up for life, it gives others the courage to do the same.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.